We'll be in Revelation chapter number 13. The book of Revelation chapter number 13. If you would like a handout and didn't get one, they're on the back table. All right, Revelation chapter 13. We're going to talk about the Antichrist. Now, there's three great chapters or passages of Scripture that deal with the Antichrist. We're going to look at the first one, which is about three quarters here of Revelation chapter 13. That's the goal for tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 also deals a great deal and gives a great deal of information about the Antichrist. And then the book of Daniel tells us some pretty amazing things about this man we call the Antichrist. And so we're going to take a look at each one of these in the weeks that lie ahead. But we're going to start here because we've been working our way primarily through the book of Revelation, so as good a place as any to start. So look with me in verse number 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And so here we're introduced to this one, though the term is not used or the title is not used. We're introduced to the Antichrist. And the idea of him rising up out of the sea, it's a prophetic term that refers to the Gentile nations. And that's important because if we want to identify who the Antichrist is, my conclusion is that he must be a Jew. And we'll see that out of the book of Daniel. Because he won't worship the God of his fathers, and that would be said of a fellow Jew. But we also know that he does not come from the nation of Israel. At least, he's not living there. But a lot of names have been suggested. You know, they tried everything they could to make Ronald Reagan the Antichrist, and Barack Obama, they tried to make him the Antichrist as well. And of course, none of these are. As far as I know, neither one are Jews or President Biden. I don't believe he's a Jew either. But he has to be a Jew, and he's going to be from, I think the most logical conclusion, he's going to be from the nation of Italy. And so that's the whole idea behind him rising up out of the sea. He is not from Israel, though he'll be a Jew. Now, these other descriptions of him, the heads and the crowns, the blasphemy, that'll all be described in other places, so we're not going to spend time there. Now, the heads and the crowns will be more so in the book of Daniel than here, and so you have to come back to have that explained. But I want to move along because the first thing I want to look at is the source of his power. And it's interesting, there's a common theme given to us about the Antichrist, because when we, in our minds, think of this person, we think of this very powerful man who's going to rule the entire earth. We think, man, this is a guy who can pull strings. He's a mover and a shaker. But it's interesting to see that he has nothing of himself, nothing of his own. Look with me in verse number 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, notice this phrase now, the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and great authority. So everything he has comes from the dragon. Now, who is this dragon? The dragon had been identified in chapter 2 as none other than the devil. And so, and I don't mean chapter 2, I mean chapter 12. The dragon was identified. And so if we'd be going through this book of Revelation verse by verse, we would have known that. But nevertheless, the dragon gives the Antichrist the power. And so, number 1 under capital letter A, the dragon gave his power. Now, what does the power refer to? It refers to military strength. I believe all the nations of the world are going to surrender the majority, if not all. They're supposed to give all of their military equipment over to the Antichrist and his military. Now, he comes on the scene peacefully, but he's going to be a man of great war, and the world will know war. And we already discussed that when we discussed the seal judgments. But the devil's going to give him that power, the dragon. And, you know, when we think about it, if a politician, now let me just say, going back to verse number 1 and these heads and these horns, most people believe that this is a reference to the European Union. That's what most people believe it is. And it just makes sense when we look at it in the book of Daniel. But so if a man is over in Europe and he comes to the United States and says, relinquish all of your tanks, all of your planes, all of your radar, all of your submarines, all of your battleships, give it all up to me. Now, what would your attitude be? Take a hike. And so, when we try to figure how this all will work out, it's important for us to understand that the devil is the one orchestrating all of this. He has a long-range goal. This will take place at the beginning of the tribulation period when all the military might will be relinquished to his power. But the devil's looking forward to 7 years when the Antichrist will, when Jesus will return to Jerusalem. He knows it's going to happen and he knows he's going to lose, but he's going to put up the best fight he can. Kind of like those lions, right? They knew they were going to lose, but they sure put up a fight today. And so I'm glad to see they put up a fight. But in the end, no one was surprised, were they? I was. I didn't think they had 35 points in them in 3 games. They did it all in 1. So I don't know. But anyway, the devil has a long game, and he's going to initiate things right from the very beginning when God allows the devil to have more power and control than he does now, because there won't be any churches to oppose him. All right, and we'll see in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians the Holy Spirit being removed before the Antichrist comes to power. And so we don't know the effect that we have on this world. I mean, we think that we're just stepped on and our rights are abused all the time, and that may be the case, but we still have an amazing effect that the world is not going to realize until we're not here anymore. And then the Antichrist, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will do some pretty amazing things by human standards. All right, so the dragon gives him his power. That talks about military strength. The dragon also gives him his seat. This is a reference to political office. Gives him his position, political position. He's going to come out of seemingly nowhere to ruling the world. The devil, I believe, has had his man in place for a couple thousand years now. Perhaps Hitler was one. Perhaps Mussolini was the one at that. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But we can go down through history, and the devil does not know when the Antichrist time will be. And so he has a man ready to go at all times, is my personal belief. And you can disagree with that. That's fine, because it's not in the scriptures. But that's just what I believe. All right. So the dragon gave him his seat, which refers to his political office. The dragon also gave him his authority, according to verse number 2. Great authority. This talks about his dominant position in world politics. Now, that's kind of a long thing to put in that blank, but the dragon gave him his authority, just his power, his influence might be a better single word for that, his influence in the world. It's not anything that he has of his own self. But remember, who controls this world system? It's the devil. And so it should be no surprise that he is going to turn men's hearts and turn men's minds to submit to this Antichrist. And so that's the source of his power, is none other than the Antichrist. In verses 3 and 4, let's go ahead and read those, and then we'll go back and cover that. Verse number 3 out of Revelation 13, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And so what we find is that the world is going to worship the Antichrist. And so why would they worship a man? Well, before we get to that, we have number one, because some believe that the beast is a revived Roman Empire. Now, in verse number two, we looked at we read of the leopard and the bear and the lion. And those are references to the prophecies of the book of Daniel. And again, so I try to be as unrepetitive as possible. We're going to cover that when we get to Daniel, and that'll all make sense then, hopefully. But it's in Daniel a reference to the reviving of the Roman Empire that will happen in the last days during the time of the Antichrist and the time of the tribulation period. And so many think that what they worship is this political system, but I just don't believe people will worship a government. They're just not going to worship a political system. Now, they may have a great deal of allegiance to a political system, but they're not going to worship it. And so it's not talking about that. It's unlikely that the association would be made between the ancient Roman Empire and the revived Roman Empire during the tribulation period. Because remember, those are a bunch of unbelievers. And they're probably going to burn all the Bibles they can find, just like the Romans did back in the Dark Ages. And so they aren't going to make the association to realize that this is the revived Roman Empire, so let's worship it. It's just not going to happen. Now, the phrase that we find at the in verse number 3 about him being wounded to death is the same phrase used concerning the lamb as it had been slain in verse 6 of chapter number 5. But it's the same phrase used concerning the lamb. And in reference to the lamb, we understand it's a reference to Jesus Christ having died on the cross. And it's important to Bible doctrine and biblical accuracy and to salvation that Jesus died all the way. There was no pulse in his veins. There was no breath in his lungs. He was 100% dead. And the fact that Jesus uses the same phrase to refer to what happens to the Antichrist tells us that this man is going to be assassinated. They're going to have a successful assassination attempt, and he's going to die. And I believe that this takes place in the middle point of the tribulation period. I've mentioned before that right at the 3.5-year mark, there's a lot of things going on that determine the last 3.5 years. And this is one of the most significant, that the Antichrist will be assassinated. He will be killed. Now, he's not going to stay dead. And he's going to be revived, resuscitated, and not resurrected. What Jesus did was entirely different. But he'll be revived or resuscitated. And so the whole world will look at him and say, wow, isn't that something? And so they're going to worship him because he was able to be resuscitated when he should have been buried instead. And so it's after that assassination mark that he declares himself as God, and the mark will be instituted. And we read about that in the last half of chapter 13. And we'll get to that eventually when we discuss the false prophet, the one world church leader in the tribulation period. Well, it says they wondered. And I saw, again, verse number 3, I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That word wonder, we might today express it in the terms of couldn't believe their eyes. They couldn't believe their eyes. Just as if the Lions, if they had won today, man, we wouldn't have been able to believe our eyes that they actually had a W in the win column. But that's what they're talking about. And so everything in this verse seems to tell us that the Antichrist will be assassinated, that he'll be revived and resume the throne. Now, I think what is prominent in his resuscitation is that the devil himself, the dragon, will possess him. Now, with the Holy Spirit, we talk about the Holy Spirit filling us. Or, I'm sorry, indwelling us. It's the same concept with a demon a demonic spirit taking possession of a human being. Now, obviously, an evil spirit cannot take possession of a saved individual. And that's one of the important reasons to get saved, so that the devil cannot take control or demonic spirit. A believer cannot be possessed by a demon. It's just absolutely impossible. God makes that very clear. But the Antichrist is going to be a lost man. And God is going to allow the devil to enter him and will revive him. Now, what is the goal of the devil all these years? Thousands and thousands of years. What has he sought for? To be worshipped by man. Isaiah chapter 14 makes that very clear, doesn't it? That he would seek to be as the Most High. And so he wants the worship of man. And now that he's actually indwelling a human being for the very first time, he's going to declare himself God and require all men across the globe to worship him. And so they do that. Now, notice verse number 4. He's going to have his wish, at least for a period of time. It says they worship the dragon. That's the devil himself. They worship the dragon because he gave power to the beast. And then they also worship the beast for two reasons. The first thing stated here is they said, who is like unto the beast? In other words, he was unique. He was unique. There was no other like him that could resuscitate themselves. Now, they forgot about somebody, didn't they? The Lord Jesus Christ. Very conveniently forgot about him because the message was suppressed, and we're seeing that happening today. You can proclaim any message you want, even messages of hate. Hate-filled speech is acceptable in our culture. The only thing you can't proclaim is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want that message out there. They don't want the Bible's message out there. You can call yourself a Christian and you can be religious. You just cannot be a biblical Christian and have the world's approval. And so it's no wonder that they don't ever look back to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, well, he's just mimicking what the Lord did. And so he's unique, but he's also, in their minds, invincible. They say, who is able to make war with him? I mean, if you can't kill the guy, how are you ever going to beat him? I mean, think about that one. If you shoot him, he just gets back up, dusts himself off, and keeps coming at you. Eventually, you're going to run out of bullets. And eventually, he'll win. And so they thought, well, it's just best that we submit and we worship him as he requires us. And so that's why they worship him, because of his resuscitation after a successful assassination attempt. Because people's minds change as he declares himself to be God. They believe it. They believe it. All right, the object of his blasphemy. The object of his blasphemy in verse number 5. And though it was given unto him. Now, again, see that phrase. Every time you read, you see that phrase. Was given unto him. Of his own self, there's nothing there. What that tells me is that believing that he is in the world today, or at least a potential antichrist, that he's not going to be anyone people would, if they had that same idea that there's an antichrist in the world today, a potential antichrist. And so we started going through the political systems of the world. There's nothing in this man that we would point to him and say, this must be the man. Not a thing. Because he doesn't have any of these abilities of his own self. Everything is given to him. And so in verse number 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, because of this statement, this last statement was given unto him to continue 42 months, you have a lot of Bible prophecy students that believe that the Antichrist does not rule the earth for 7 years. They believe he only rules for the second 3.5 year period. And I disagree with that entirely, because the Antichrist is very active from day number one, because the whole tribulation period gets started at his initiation. You know, when he has that peace treaty between the Jews signed where he guarantees them peace. That tells me he's in power. He has the ability to keep the world from attacking, to keep the Muslim, I mean, let's just call it what it is, to keep the Muslim from attacking the Jews and Israel. And so, how do then we explain this ability given to him, again given, to continue 40 and 2 months? Remember what happened back a couple verses ago? He was assassinated and he was resuscitated. What God is saying is, I'm going to let this fellow come back to life or revive, and he's going to be able to stick around for 3.5 years. But he's got a clock ticking because he's not going to exceed 40 and 2 months. That's all he has. He's going to have to do everything he's going to try to do in that period of time. And the devil knows this, who's indwelling or possessing the Antichrist, and he knows his time is short. And so he's going to go at it with everything he has. When it talks about his mouth speaking great things, he's going to be making fantastic claims or bragging, such as claiming to be God. And then it's going to say that he blasphemed God. There in verse number 5, he's going to explain that in greater detail in the next verse. And so we'll talk about that in just a second. But his authority was to continue for 3.5 years. All right, the three verbal attacks. This is the blasphemy. We find it in verse number 6. In verse number 6, the Bible tells us, speaking of the Antichrist, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And so there's three attacks he makes, three blasphemies that are going to be a part of this man's speech. And I think it's going to be more than a one-time event. I think this is what he's going to say over and over and over and over again. He's going to repeat it. The first thing he blasphemes is the name of God. This is an attack on God's person. Remember, he calls himself God. And so he's going to be making a mockery of the true God who sits in heaven, who is the creator of all that exists. He's going to call God a fraud. He's going to call God a figment of the imagination. You know, they're doing that already today, saying God is just a crutch for the emotionally weak or the intellectually weak. That's what they think. And he's just going to repeat that. But he's going to say, I'm God and I proved it because I was dead, but now you see I'm very much alive. Now, again, he's just a counterfeiter. Jesus already did that. But they conveniently forget that. But he's going to attack God's person. He's also going to blaspheme the tabernacle of God. This is an attack on the worship of God. Now, it's going to be forbidden in that second 3.5 years of the tribulation, the second half, because he's going to put up the image in the in the temple. We'll see that later on in this chapter. In several weeks from now, but he's going to put up an image of himself saying, you must bow down before me. Forget worshiping God. Forget Jehovah. Forget Jesus. I'm the real deal. They're fakes. And so it's against the law to worship them. That's what he's going to say. It's blasphemy against God's worship. And then he's going to blaspheme them that dwell in heaven. This is an attack on the saints of God, who are already in heaven. They're already saying these things against us today, I believe he'll call them fools. He'll say about them that they made a bad choice when they rejected him and stayed faithful to Jesus Christ, choosing even to die rather than deny his name. The world just doesn't get it, do they? Because they do not recognize who Jesus is. Now, that's willingly on their part, because the truth about Jesus is everywhere. In creation, we see it, and in the Word of God, we see it, and in the lives of believers, we see it. The fact that the disciples were scared to death, huddled up in an upper room, just trembling with fear. How did these same men change the entire world? That just a few days later were proclaiming that Jesus, in fact, rose from the dead in the very city that they said it happened. You know, if there were people who could deny it, they would be in the city of Jerusalem back then. How do you explain all that if it wasn't all true? But you see, the world is filled with the lies of the devil who wants the worship of man, and so he denies all these things. All right, we really need to fly here to finish this tonight. So let's look at capital letter D, verse number 7, the victims of his wrath. Verse number 7 says, "It was again, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was again given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." What we learn in this verse is that he'll persecute the believers, and he's given the ability to conquer them. But the word war is speaking of an extended military campaign. This isn't just a one-time event when he resuscitates and says, "All right, let's slaughter them all." No, this is something he's going to do from day one until the last day he is capable of doing it. And so it's an extended military campaign. I think it's going to last all the way till Armageddon. And the only way the saints are going to be able to overthrow him is through the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he'll fight on their behalf. I do plan to be there, but I'll be following him. I won't be part of the battle. But you know, I think this will start with those two witnesses. Now, we looked at them several weeks ago when they're going to preach for 3.5 years, and then God's going to allow their lives to be taken. And I think that starts all with this, is campaign. They're going to be on the 1 and 2 on the 10 most wanted list of the Antichrist, and God will let them be successful. Or it also talks about his authority being global. It talks about, at the end of verse 7, kindreds, tongues, and nations. It'll be global, but it'll also be iron-fisted. We read about the millennial kingdom, that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. Well, the Antichrist will rule in the same way. Then we see the victims of his worship in verse number 8. Verse number 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And so, notice that all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. There'll be very few left who will recognize him for who he is, the Antichrist. Most of the world, the vast majority of the world, will look up to him as a hero, and as God incarnate. Now, what was Jesus? He was a hero, a savior, and God incarnate. And so he'll be doing his best to replace the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice their lost condition. Their names are absent from the book of life. Doesn't get any more sad than that, to have that said of any person. All right, then the hope of the Antichrist's enemies in verses 9 and 10. "If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." That's speaking of the fact that God is just and will repay those that oppose him. Then he goes on to say, here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And so we see that God's people have two things, patience and faith, waiting on God to act. God's people always had to have patience, because God doesn't work on our timetable, does he? You know, we have a lot of things that we'd like God to check off our list. But God says, if it's on my list, I'll take care of it. But you just have to wait for me to do it. That old phrase is so true. God is rarely early, but he's never late. Rarely early, but never late. And I believe these saints will learn that lesson. I just wonder, are they willingly patient? Now, that's a good question. Sometimes we have to be patient, though we're not so willing for it. But this is what we can learn of the Antichrist here in Revelation chapter 13. When I put the question out there with the sermon title, "Who is the Antichrist?" I hope you weren't hoping for me to tell you a particular name. In fact, maybe the next time we study it, I'll tell you how they figure that out, how they figure out who it is. And it's kind of a humorous thing, but it's getting the point across that it's useless for us to try to determine who it is, as I mentioned earlier. All right, so the Antichrist, the one thing we do need to know, he is a real man. Just like you and I are human beings, so is he. But he is empowered by the devil himself and then eventually possessed by the devil himself. And so he's able to do things that only the devil can do through him. And so, but he is a real man, and he has a short time and a short leash, and God tends the leash. And so we need not be discouraged. What our responsibility is what? Keep as many out of the tribulation period as we can. Win as many to Christ while God gives us the opportunity. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us of future events. Father, we don't plan to be here during this time, but nevertheless, it challenges our heart when we see the horrific time that the world will endure during the tribulation period. And Father, this should just compassion compel us to share the gospel and try to win those that we come in contact with, and especially our family and loved ones. Father, we know they don't all want to hear and listen, and Father, we do our best to balance that, but Father, give us a burden for the lost souls that you bring in our paths. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.